Gang, gang. Gang, gang.
Guess what? I'm announcing myself to be in the Royal Rumble. I didn't have to do anything for it, but I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble. Max.
Yo, it's Thursday, and you know what that means.
You don't get to do that. You have to fight Marcos for your spot in the Royal Rumble.
You're not the commissioner. You don't make the rules. I make the rules.
You're going one-on-one with the Undertaker player.
Rand makes the rules.
You gave him the Teddy Long.
You gonna go one-on-one with the Undertaker.
The Undertaker player. Holla, holla.
Holla, holla.
With your arm tied behind your back and the Undertaker just found out you assaulted.
It's going to be a tag team match.
Right? Yo.
So, yo, it is episode 187?
Seven on an undercover cop. What? Let's go then. Episode 187. What up?
187. It's murder.
Murder was the case is the name of the episode.
We are changing our whole topic. It's not. This show is now about a New Jack tribute episode. It's going to be all about New Jack now. Now that I realize
that's hilarious.
He has to share New Jack stories around the fire.
Yo, but he had a super gritty Dark Side of the Ring.
Right.
That was like, he did. Whoa.
It's a very common theme in it. He was like, well, this guy started telling me that what he was going to do in the match. And I was like, what? You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. I kill you.
A lot of attempted murders in that episode.
Murders, yeah.
But did you guys catch the live follow-up show that they did? I don't know if they did it for every episode. I know they did it for his, in which, like, he just literally was like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care what happened. Yeah. I'll still do it again.
Yeah.
And then it's like, everybody's like, no wait, remorse. What?
He's like, shoot time all the time is New Jack.
All the time. Like, he's
my man
constantly
cocked in the pistol.
Shout out to New Jack. They're going to do a Brian Pillman episode next season.
Oh, speaking of shoot. Huh?
Speaking of shoot.
Wow. I keep forgetting that was storyline. I was like, wait, no.
That was storyline.
I have to introduce our guests before we get too comfortable. You know what we do on Mad Mania. We talk wrestling.
It's
we
the
talk
gay
hip-hop.
From Stargate Universe. Sorry.
We didn't ask each other. That's what we do.
My fault.
You know, we talk wrestling, we talk hip-hop, we talk everything in between, and this is the Mad Mania Podcast. My name is Megan Rand, accompanied by some near and dear friends who I think have new books to add to their collections this week. Shout out to the Neo-X on my side here, the Neo-X, rocking his Dream Master copy. Right below, I'm going to skip you, go to you last, Marco. So below is G1 to the rescue. What's going on, bro?
Just checking in from Stargate Command. What's cracking?
What up? And above and to the left, T. Hall, the villain, about to celebrate a birthday.
I think. Yo, what up?
And a hot ass album and a birthday.
Reporting from an unknown location.
The Trap House.
Okay.
Unknown location. The Trap House. And our special guest, this man, we literally walked up on this man and have been friends ever since. We were complete strangers at StarCast. He had the IWGP title, and I said, I want to hold that. And this man didn't turn into a battle royale. He just was cool. So we just sat, and after that, we have been very good friends.
That night led to a long night of drinking.
It did. So, shout out to Marcos. Well, what's going on?
Not much,
call you
man.
Marcos Stunt for today.
I appreciate it, guys, that you guys invited me, and I just want to take the time that I appreciate some new reading material. It's fading, but you know.
Yes, that is a book. It looks like a book. You can't see it at home, but the rest of us have copies of the Dream Master book, which you can get at dreammasterbook.com. It's my memoir. We talk about a lot of things. There's hip hop in it. There's wrestling in it. There's anime, comics, and
even
life.
Even though
occasional sex.
Even though Rand and me are like almost the same age, you know, this book inspired me as a child.
As a child. Thank you. I appreciate that. So yeah, man, the book's out. I appreciate you guys copping that. And if you haven't yet, again, dreammasterbook.com. But let's get it started. Not in the ring, but outside of the ring. This is this part of the show we call the put over, where we give you what we're digging right now. Now it
Don't
can't
make
be wrestling,
over.
Marcos. It can't be wrestling. So if you're digging a show, a toy, a game, This is the time to talk about
who get they.
I'm gonna go ahead and just
since you are
so guest, many things I wish I would have known. First.
You could put together my, you could put over my book, but you know, no pressure.
There will be links in the show notes, FYI, y'all.
Well, you know, the one thing that I want to put over first and foremost, because I feel forced now. Nah, I'm messing with you.
No.
It's the book. It's a good read. I'm halfway through it. I just got it. Shout out to Amazon. I was part of, well, on the Facebook side of the live reading yesterday. It was good times on a great day. We celebrated multiple things. But the thing that I'm digging outside of wrestling right now is the fact that, you know, I think we should applaud that we have a changeover in the regime in America. So, applaud about that. You know, I think that's the
absolutely.
Thing, you know,
I'll drink to that. Absolutely.
Like it's a situation where, you know, anything but the status quo.
Yeah, I'll take a golden retriever in office after Trump, man. You know I'm smoking to that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people are like, oh, like, you know, I posted something and I got, you know, I was like, hey, look, I'm happy, but I'm also on guard. And people are like, yeah, all right, man, you know, y'all get all happy, but just watch. It's going to just be memes and stuff for 4 years. And next thing you know, you're going to be right back in this. And I'm like, look, man, I'm not saying we're not holding these people accountable. I'm saying we got arguably the worst president of our lifetime out. So that's what I'm cheering about.
Yeah, I think you made mentions of that in the New Times article. Or New Times, or is it AZ Central?
AZ Central asked a lot of the musicians in the community what Biden coming in the office meant. And I was like, it means we're watching you. Like, that's what it means. It's not like, oh, it's all great now, baby. Nah, it's like, I think that's what I said, is that I think that Trump coming in and us seeing what has happened in the last 4 years has made everybody more politically aware and active. So we know to hold our elected officials accountable. So
And I mean, we held and to add to that, Rand, like, I feel like we haven't been biased. Like, you know, we love, you know, Barack and Michelle for their time and everything like that. But just to point out something that Chris Rock once said, he like, man, we wasn't just voting for the guy because he was black at the time. We were voting for him because he was black and qualified for the position. Not like we voted
qualified
Flav in this motherfucker.
Right. Flav ain't gonna get the vote.
So in this situation, Biden is somebody who not over, you know, served 8 years, you know, as vice president alongside, you know, our beloved Obama. So he definitely has the resume of being in that motherfucker. So he's fully capable. And it's like, regardless of whether I'm sure he might make some mistakes. I feel like all the intention is there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, in essence, his vice president is really going to have a larger role in his regime. Because just like with Michelle having a larger role up front during the Obama, well, having a larger role up front during the Obama regime, it wasn't just like, oh, Obama was doing everything and then we just never seen Michelle. No, we finna see a lot of Kamala Harris. I'm gonna let you know that right now, whether on the political front or whether we finna see a lot of our vice president.
She's the vice president versus like the first lady, so she's definitely gotta be way more involved.
Yeah. But I just feel like just in essence of really, really being that forefront with Biden. Because, I mean, Biden, at the end of the day, let's just call a spade, he's another old white man in office, but he just happens to be in
the oldest,
right? But he just so happens to be experienced and really being invested in what he's doing.
But I was very happy to see that when he flipped his office over from, he basically cleansed it from the Los Demonios de Trump. He has a bust of Cesar Chavez, of Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
He changed up all the paintings to be more socially appropriate.
Absolutely.
Immediately just started ripping up the Trump playbook. And
yeah, like he doesn't want you to think
those are good signs.
Exactly. That we're watching that. We are watching, but we appreciate
Streets is watching.
The start.
It's a situation where
watching.
All right, he has also signed a whole bunch of – he signed off on a bunch of stuff already as soon as he got in office.
That's what we want. We want action. So the clock is on from the moment you in.
It's going to take him a long time to reverse what Trump did, but he's already working.
Right to work.
Well, he's already like lifted the travel ban against Muslims, halted the building of the wall. He implemented mandatory masks for traveling, like regardless. If you travel on anything that's public, like you have to wear a mask. Like there's no more effing around. Should. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I like it.
I like it, man. So that is your
good put over, Marco.
That's a good one, man.
Appreciate it. Yo, appreciate
what are you putting over, sir?
Well, the news was especially hard to watch, in my opinion, because I didn't grow up watching the news as much. But this time around, I was gravitated to just keep on the tabs of what was happening. And what really made news enjoyable for me was watching the daily show with Trevor Noah on YouTube. He brings news in a very topical way that doesn't scare you, you know. And again, like it was just a good way for me to continue and becoming involved in the race, in the presidential race and in the election. So yeah, I got to give it up to him because every morning when I start my workday, I turn on my version of the news, which is the Daily Show with Trevor mm-hmm. Noah, and he makes it very palatable, enjoyable. But also keeps it real, which I can really appreciate. So yeah, just another YouTube show in my daily routine nowadays, just to kind of keep up with the tropes, you know.
Trevor Noah is dope, man.
Again, wow. Because we are watching, right? And he's been credible in what I've seen, so I can really I feel like I can trust what he says.
Word up! I like him. He's got a great book too. If you're on a book mode, Born a Crime is great about him being born in South Africa to a black woman and a white man during apartheid, you know? So like, that was really crazy. So, yeah, man, I love The Daily Show. Me and my wife watch it. So good mm-hmm. stuff. G1, what you got?
Man, I actually been meaning to put this person over for a while. Neo's the fucking man. He's a beauty, a handsome face, nice beard. I see his grays coming in. It's all nice. I've been meaning to put this person over for a while. She has actually been one of my favorite artists of the last, I would say, 6 or 7 months since I've really discovered her. And her family lineage speaks for itself. Her name is Alex Isley. She is the daughter of Ernie Isley of the Isley Brothers. She's somewhere in the realm of all of us. I think she's about 37. She is like the industry's best kept secret because everybody who's anybody is perfectly aware of who Alex Isley is. We're talking about a chick that writes, produces, and pretty much mixes her own music. Vocally, she is special. Like vocally, she's an enigma of epic proportions. She does, and she still caters to every form of her audience. Every Thursday on her Instagram page, please follow her at Love Alex Isley. She does these things called 60 Second Thursdays, where within that minute that they give you on Instagram, she'll do like a stacked a cappella of a favorite song, regardless of what the genre be. And it's just nobody sings certain songs like her. You'll forget like the other version of the song after hearing hers. You'd be like, damn, can I just hear more of this? And then her albums are just really incredible. The Beauty of Everything, Part 1 and 2, collaboration with her and a producer, Jack Dine. She's guest appeared on a lot of records over the years from people like Robert Glasper and others and various things. But she's special, and I encourage you to go listen to her if you've never heard her music. If you just want to vibe, you want to smoke, if you want to make love, hey, Alex Isley got it all for you. She's dope.
Word up.
All right. We good.
I just followed her. Yes. My hands, I'm over here mm-hmm. touching the keyboard and my phone.
Yeah.
That's
Wiener.
Yeah.
I have no pants. How did you know, Neo?
I can no longer approve or deny this message.
She beautiful too. She don't look like the regular R&B chick. She's a beautiful full figured Red Bone, wears her own hair, it's all big and curly, and she just do her thing. She don't be overdoing it on the glamour shit. She's just beautiful.
Man. Okay, G1, you sounding awful thirsty, man.
You so funny.
He just described his entire taste right there.
Right. Yeah, but Teek's over there licking his fingers.
Wow. Talk about Teek. Well, you know, I don't know what that is, but sure. Okay.
Yeah. That looks like a toilet cake.
I what have a that? Treat. That's why.
Toilet cake. Okay.
What the fuck what was that? What cake? Is that?
I don't know. I'm concerned.
Donut.
It's a very small donut. I think Marco was trying to say, like, what are you talking about? The urinal cake?
Yeah, a urinal cake. There you go.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I was about to say, whoa.
It does look like it, though.
We got to put a welfare check on Teek. Like,
we got to go check on him. He's eating toilet cakes.
Well, we don't know because he's in an undisclosed location.
Well,
first of all, why
are you getting down? Do you want to put that over this donut
toilet cake? No. Time out. Before we move on, I think that should be the phrase that pays. We got to make that go viral. Toilet cakes. Yeah, just because it just sounds weird. It can mean so many things.
It sounds super weird.
Our marketing guy Marco, he might be on to something. Man.
Right, that's a T-shirt.
That's a t-shirt.
Toilet cakes.
No, sir, I'm enjoying a donut right here, but if you want to know my put over, I'm putting over. Tomorrow is my birthday. I will be turning 36.
36.
Hey. 36 season in the building. Yes, sir. Thank you. And me and G1, you should have did my put over before you did G1's, because I would have did a consecutive put over of me and G1. I would have stole his put over.
And made condense the put over.
Yes, the project. T called G1 to the rescue.
Of course.
36 dropping tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
T called on the raps. G1 on the beats.
Mm-hmm. I got one guest appearance on there on the vocal side.
I'm getting there.
You should do 24-hour streaming on Facebook.
I'm not taking it away from you, man. So we got.
Oh no, I know. I
we got Mega Ran featuring on there. We got G1 to the Rescue featuring on there. Got my homie Skunks on there. Skeets on there, the hair guy.
Yeah.
And shit came out fire. I sent Ran a track. I think you might play it for
Twitch
people, or either put it on the recording. I'm not sure how he decided to do that, but
I'm gonna play it. Don't worry, it's coming.
I'll say, like, just to piggyback off of Teek, I love doing full projects for people, and this was a short one, but me and Teek, the records that he had that I did for him, I forgot, was just coming from a lot of the stuff where I just kind of pulled up on him and we just smoked, kicked it, made beats, ate Greasy Food, and just like chilled on some nigga shit, and the beats are like a reflection of whatever the vibe was, and we just like he did his thing as he does, rightfully so, and just killed them and just killed it. I wasn't even expecting for it to be like a co-labeled project. I was just expecting, okay, cool, you know, T call 36 produced by G1 to the Rescue, but I feel honored that he included me in the fucking title, like, man, because it's definitely a fire project and I'm really excited.
Hype all around. Well, when it comes to music, Teek definitely delivers. You can check out his discography, and plus we have his Bandcamp in the show notes, so be sure y'all support
Teek. Yeah, this will be exclusively on Bandcamp tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And what was I about to say? Something.
The link is in the show, so y'all better check it out, share it, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You said it's a short project. I mean, it's 7 tracks, so I mean,
yeah, it's almost a full LP. It's an EP, but it's a good EP. It's like the best EP I've heard.
I wanted 36 tracks.
You're going to get like 15, 16 minutes of music, so you know it's good. If you got to go make a trip to the store or something, you know, you can throw that on.
I think you should perform it for 36 hours in honor of your birthday.
Or do it 36 times.
Teek, here's a serious question. Would you ever really do a double album just on some like for my fans collective shit type vibe? Would you ever do a double album, Teek? For real.
I mean, there's really no such thing as albums no more. So it's really just however many songs I want to do and put them on the streaming service, right?
I mean, like Chris Brown has done a double album in today's generation, and he's done something. So it's like, and a couple other people I know too. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like you would do like a really strong double album for niggas that really like bars, like us. Oh,
man. Don't nobody care about my music that much right now for me to give out two albums worth of music in one shot.
I'm the guest here, so I think maybe you guys should think about doing, getting some, you guys know all these incredible talented people. Mm-hmm. Do like the best way I could describe it is like an audio comic. Like you do a comic and then, and which each page you guys either spit a track or a freestyle that goes with it, make it something quick. You guys are all with G1, Mega and Teak. I think you guys could do it. And I think with the combined promotion, you guys will sell it like gangbusters.
Man.
I want to see these fans come out and support 36 tomorrow. I'll start posting it once it's up. But yeah, it'll be up tomorrow at some point because tomorrow 36. Is my birthday. So I'm giving that out to the fans. Fans,
hey,
come
Max,
out.
And- I'm there.
So by what? The time you guys hear this, the album will be out for you for your consumption. Go to teakhall.bandcamp.com. And grab 36. I'm gonna play you one of the songs before we leave today, so 36. You'll get a little piece of it. And who's next to put over? I guess me. I'll be quick, but it's a show called Your Honor that I'm really into. Me and my wife been watching. It's on Showtime. Bryan Cranston, who's like a fire actor, you know him from Breaking Bad. It's definitely inspired by Breaking Bad. I'll say that because it's like the classic good guy goes bad type story. So, you know,
Breaking Bad too.
He's in New Orleans. If Walter White was a judge, then yeah, that's what it is. But
yeah, I heard he was getting his Walter White on in it.
Definitely some Walter White moments where I was like, oh, I expected him to be like, call me Heisenberg. You know,
it's a really good joint.
I think there's what 8, maybe 9 episodes.
Series run.
We've been giving it a short run because I just finished Cobra Kai and I didn't really have much else to watch. So I was like, all right, let's start this.
Great show.
Very good. Please check it out. Your Honor.
Yeah.
How's Chet Hanks doing in it?
I saw him for like 2 seconds. He didn't come in like the 4th episode, but like I was like, yo, is that Chet? Okay. Patois rap star.
They said he's not using no patois in the show.
Okay, good. Because I only heard him do like 2 lines in the show. So yeah.
So still waiting for that Chet Hanks Yellow Wolf album.
Chet Hanks is Tom Hanks' son. But also for some reason speaks like perfect patois and can rap.
What?
And like with Jamaican accents, and he's just it's very convincing. I don't know how he does it, but it's very convincing.
Probably somewhere listening to some R&B G1. That's where you've been at.
So
what happened, G1, is that when Thanos snapped and the Hulk brought us back, the universe is folded together, and Chet Hanks was 3 people combined.
Man, he better go be Woody's little brother in Toy Story 5 in this motherfucker.
Yo, that'd be funny if they made him Woody.
Brand.
Yeah.
You got a brand in me. Face ass.
What's did everybody put over? Y'all, we all there?
That was everybody.
I think that was everybody.
We good.
All right.
Hey, so, can I get a soft put over additional?
All right, you're a guest, so
you're the guest.
Okay.
First time you're a guest, second time you are not a guest.
Okay, I am a mark, so I want to put over the amazing Umaga WWE lead figure that's out there. I got it. I would get it up and show it to you, but it's behind me.
Don't have no pants on, so you can't do that.
I'm lazy.
Let's not talk about. Never mind.
He doesn't want to get up and show you his big Umaga, okay?
It's really nice. It's cool. But
so it's a good figure, the elite Umaga figure.
Yeah,
he signed it up real nice.
What's up? I'm checking it out online,
man. The tattoos. And
I'm gonna look at it. Yeah, it's really good. It's really well detailed.
All right. RIP. Yeah, Mattel been snapping with some of the newer WWE figures. These motherfuckers been doing their thing. I follow the toy makers and shit, man. So I love seeing these action figures.
Indeed. I mean, yeah, it looks pretty dope.
And I'm not even that big of a collector, but I saw it and I was like, oh, okay, I got to add this to my cart.
Sure. Yeah, it's pretty that's well good. Done. I like it. I hope that's, you know, proceeds of going to the family or something, you know.
It's an elite figure. Oh, yeah. Yep. I think this is the one I'm looking at. I'm looking at it on Walmart site. If this is the one,
yeah, that's scary. It's only real. One. It's only one.
That's the only figure they've ever made of Umaga.
Well,
is Umaga outside scary of real G1, you might want to calm down there, sir.
shut up. No, I'm just like it's crazy detail. Like they really did a good job in capturing his likeness. That's crazy. Yeah,
the elites go all out. For sure.
You're not helping.
Yeah, the elite figures, they always, you know, make sure to give it a lot of detail.
I need an elite Diamond Dallas Page one day.
Y'all can see that yoga, bro. Pretty good figure. Looks pretty dope. So yeah, if you're a collector, go grab that. So let's get started on some wrestling talk, shall we? Now, this week in wrestling, I'm gonna let Neo start us off with Monday, which is Raw. Can you give us maybe one highlight from Monday Night?
The only highlight of the Raw show, the only one, was Ricochet versus AJ Styles. That's it. Like nothing else really mattered. And I hate to be a Lashley downer. But man, I just nothing like Lucha Randy was kind of fun to watch. There was
I was gonna say, what about Randy's mask? Lucha Randy was
fun to watch. That segment between Lashley and Riddle, where Lashley missed his toes by like a mile, and we plain as day saw it. I'm just like, come on,
all right, you can't blame Lashley, you gotta blame that cameraman.
Looked at the toes though, I saw him
like. You got to blame the cameraman. My man flipped that camera way too quick. He should have like.
I'm sorry, but it was just a show.
For his muscles, man, he couldn't see down there to see where he was stepping.
You know, but it was just.
I got to talk about, I don't know if you guys have seen you guys saw it, but if you guys in the audience hadn't seen the slingshot off the ropes Styles Clash that Ricochet took. Yeah. It was top of the line.
But again, that was crazy. The only clip that mattered,
that's,
bro.
That's Ricochet, like, you know, just, I mean, you know, going all out to do something dope.
Can we say this was the equivalent of Shawn Michaels versus Shelton Benjamin?
Oh, on Raw? When he came off the springboard with the super kick?
Come on now. We have two veterans. We have a veteran and somebody that was kind of like that the wrestling community loves, but it's not considered top tier, unfortunately, by management. It's putting on just a wrestling match wasn't for a title, wasn't for a feud. It was like
it was guys for a chance for Ricochet to go to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, okay. but so did Ricochet's anybody really be believe? In the no, he's well, going to be in the Rumble. He well, has
that's,
to.
And that's the thing. Like everybody's been saying, I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Except
and then
him.
Like, and then Ricochet has to fight for his spot, and then I think on SmackDown, Gulak had a fight for his spot. I mean, come on.
No, those but then the, guys,
I'm gonna be in the Royal Rumble. Come on, Neo.
That's why I'm gonna be in the Royal Rumble.
We're gonna have to hash this out, bro.
But
come
did
on.
You notice, like, three segments later, somebody was backstage and is like, "Yeah, I'm gonna be in the Rumble," and it's like,
"What?" Yo, Rick over there just took an L. And he's gotta go. He's gotta go to catering.
Right. I'm gonna be in the Rumble. Like, really? You are?
Man. They should have just had Ricochet walking in the back.
Just like head down. Just like, man, this is bullshit.
It's like, man, good luck, Ricochet. But anyway, like I was saying, Charlie, I'm going to beat the Rumble.
Wow.
He should have offered Ricochet a spot even after he lost. So that him getting beat up was for nothing. Like,
it's this weekend. Like, there's no like, more runs left.
No,
like,
they're gonna
like Ricochet come back sad. It's like, oh, Ricochet, you want to be in a Rumble? Sure.
No more. Chances.
I think like, what's gonna happen is when the WWE forgets about stuff and they decide to continue the angle, it's gonna be breaking news on Twitter. Ricochet is in. It's like you could have just dedicated the 3 seconds to be like, yeah. Oh yeah, by the way, Ricochet had a good match. He earned that spot. No, they're gonna
even put it on the YouTube or their Instagram.
Yeah, like you said, it'll be on the Twitter. It's gonna be on the Twitter. It's gonna be on the ticker tape going across while they do something else.
Oh wow! It's gonna be the ticker tape when they do the pre-show of the Royal Rumble.
It's gonna be the shucky ducky quack quack moment.
Oh wow! He's called it. He called it.
That is shucky, how it's going ducky, down.
Quack quack.
Okay, but, so that's raw. We can move.
But
on.
Wait, no, we gotta talk about the ace bandage that Randy Orton wore as a mask. Like, I legit was like, I think I got one in my drawer. Like, did somebody put an ankle thing around his face?
But that was Lucha Randy, bro.
Oh, man.
He didn't get the memo to the house party.
That was Juan Cena's mask, though.
Oh, is this supposed to be because he's burned?
Yeah.
He's got super burns all over his body like Kane.
But you know what?
Mario fireball to the face, and now
time out. I'm gonna give WWE not
Mario fireball. He's stupid.
I'm gonna give WWE half a point. Their creative half a point because he made it a point in that entire promo for you to realize that with first degree burns. No, or third degree, whichever one. He was like, I'm going to be fine next week. Just want to let you know. I come out and I have nothing on my face.
I'll be fine next
this
week.
This is temporary.
Next week? Really?
Yeah, well, yeah, the Royal Rumble's is Sunday. So
yeah, like how do you get completely burned and disfigured and then you're like, yeah, I'm all right.
Good question.
That was Obamacare, bro.
It's because now that he's in a Lucha stable, The Lucha doctor, he's going to send him out back to cut an aloe vera plant, cut the guts, and just put it all over his face.
Or you just finished watching Cobra Kai. He's going to do that Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, he's just going to do the...
And he's going to go,
Or skin cell research.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
No scars.
Okay, so...
Same doctor as Vince McMahon had when he blew up in the limo. Trust me.
Oh yeah, when he died allegedly, and then showed up when somebody else really died, he was on stage with the rest of them.
But Randy's gonna go into the hyperbolic time chamber. He's gonna be okay.
But then when he blew his quads, he didn't recover that quick. He died and quickly recovered.
Died and was resurrected regenerated next week.
Oh, when he blew his quads out.
That was a defect. Defect.
He blew his quads and was out for 10 months.
He didn't have that much credit.
they ran out.
Oh man.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about, I don't know if any of you saw it this past weekend, but Impact's pay-per-view.
I saw it.
Hard to Kill.
I only caught the main event, which was fire, but you know, I'm kind of biased, but I feel like Kenny the Good Brothers, like that's a match we want to see. So but Marco, you saw the whole thing. What do you think of, one, what Impact's product is right now, and two, this very interesting, the moment that the Mark's heart stood still when the Good Brothers came out in Bullet Club shirts?
Well, here's the thing. Top to bottom, the pay-per-view was decent. You know what I mean? And I say decent because it's an alternative to what we're used to. Now we're used to the AEW style and WWE style, and this Impact pay-per-view, it felt like certain matches was really good, like the women's tag title match, that was amazing. The Taya Valkyrie match, that was pretty decent. But then other matches that they kind of played it up as being major matches, like the Eddie Edwards versus what's his face? Oh God.
Sammy Callahan, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Was kind of like they were trying to make it seem more brutal than it was. They were like, oh my God, look at this. And it was just like, it fell flat.
They were trying to reprise that bad angle.
Yeah.
Why are they still trying to live off that Mortal Kombat match where it was like the Mortal Kombat
that was low key the best match of the entire night. Just because I honestly think Ethan Page. The character, the man, Ethan Page, has something on here because the dude is charismatic. He's an athlete and he's charismatic. The simple fact that props to Impact that they let him do this would look like he did it in his house. It looked like he did it on a Zoom call by himself. It was amazing. There were certain matches that I could have done without. Like I love Tommy Dreamer and them, but I don't think that was a pay-per-view caliber match. It could have been saved for the tapings. I sure? thought the Matt Cardona debut fell flat. If you're going to bring him in and have him face Ace Austin, either have Ace Austin win by shenanigans or have him lose cleanly. This whole thing of a screwy DQ finish at a pay-per-view for a debut, that's Bush League. Like, come on.
Well, that's taking that from the WWE playbook at that point.
Did you say Bush
League? Not on your debut, though. I don't know.
Not on your WWE never does that on a debut. Somebody's taking the job. It might be 50-50 booking, like somebody, the person will lose on SmackDown.
They'll get it back in a week, but you at least got to take the L.
Yeah, and then there was some other things that I thought was kind of like weird, like there was a match that I thought that didn't make sense, that it was on the pay-per-view, but it was kind of like like the Cody Deaner, like I don't know what they're doing with that angle. Like, you came into that match and they assumed you knew what was going on, and they kept putting over that stable, but they did it at the sacrifice of the veterans. My bad. That's, again, the same Tommy Dreamer match.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
all right, Tommy Dreamer's getting way too much discussion in 2021. So we're going to move on.
Wait.
Hey, I got a quick question. Event,
though. We got to talk about the main event. How Thwan got dogged out.
We got to talk about the main event. All right.
Yeah.
Well, great match, I think. How do you feel about the end result? Good Brothers going over with Kenny over your champion, over, you know, all your top guys. What's up with that?
It had so many what they're doing, but
no, they had to the Good Brothers, aka the Artillery Union, not to Bullet Club, the Weapon Coalition.
Los Hermanos Balazos.
Yes, they needed to go over, but you have two other guys. You have Moose, who's super, like, his run has been solid. He could have taken an L. You know what? How about the lone Motor City Machine Gun? He could have lost.
One of the tag team dudes could have taken it.
That wouldn't have fit Kenny's MO of wanting to be a belt collector now. So, like, that has to...
That
has to materialize somewhere. So they're materializing on Sean, on Swan.
But
eventually Swan will get the win back on AEW, you know?
That's what you think, but I don't think it's going to happen. Shout out to Mega with the Nito mask. That shit is fire. Uh-huh. But here's the thing. What people didn't know that they put on their Twitter was that Moose beat the shit out of fucking Rich Swan after the pay-per-view. And then they aired it on this Tuesday. And then on top of that, so now you got a champion that not only took the job by somebody outside of the company, and then now you got him looking weak because Moose beat the shit out of him. Mm. And then so it's like, are you going to start this infighting feud and then have him, let's say, if you guys didn't know, the next pay-per-view is going to feature Kenny Omega. If you look at the graphic, it has the Omega symbol.
Sign in it, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to do the super, champion versus champion that.
Super smarky, like, little hint drops that make me go, yeah, my lady.
Okay, so that means you think we're getting Omega versus Swan for the title?
I think...
Or title for title, maybe?
I think that's what we're going to get, what we should get, and thanks to Impact's own booking, is Moose versus Omega.
Mm-hmm.
That makes better sense.
It does. It does. But Moose, I think for it to mean something, maybe Moose should beat Swan in a match.
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking either what's going to happen is they're going to have the champ versus champ, and then it's going to be a screwy finish where Moose is going to come in because he doesn't like Rich Swan, cost him the match, and he's going to still retain. And then basically Omega doesn't get a loss. But you still have a champ there. But it's interesting. Like, TNA is doing some stuff, but I'm an adult now, and I kind of know how business works.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have a fedora.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's one thing that's missing from this key part that, unless it's a surprise, this whole thing might not work out well, which is New Japan. If New Japan is not in on it, then it's kind of like...
Well, yeah. Funny you just mentioned New Japan, because there was just some news about who is it? Was it Tama or somebody from there was reaching out to WWE in a video saying that, you know, since New Japan and WWE has worked together before, and that he sees what Impact and AEW was doing, and he said nobody gives a fuck about Impact, but now they're going to benefit from what they're doing, that New Japan and WWE should come together and make some sort of bridge.
They make all the tours in Japan, but they just never connect, which is
garbo. So what do y'all think? What do you think of a WWE New Japan relationship would look like?
I think a pay-per-view with those two would be great. I mean, like, you've had Brock and other people go over there and fight in Japan and stuff like that. So
not with the WWE blessing.
Yeah, but you
so do it with the blessing now.
I mean, back in the 80s, back in the 80s, they traded talent though. What back in the Antonio Inoki days, that's why Hogan had all those matches as Gaijin Hogan or whatever.
Ichiban Hogan,
Ichiban Hogan. But I honestly think that was all storyline, because this all started from the Twitch thing, which I was on, and like Tama was just shooting from the hip. You ever seen somebody like try to cut a promo or like say something to go viral?
Yeah.
He was trying to go viral. Like, you know what I mean? It's, if it was dope, like business wise, it would make sense. But there's a big thing that's keeping this from happening. And that is the godfather of wrestling, Vince McMahon. As long as that man is alive, he'll do business with everybody. But best believe none of his people get a job.
Yeah, it's going to be the McMahon best interest is really what's going to happen.
Yeah, like Lucha House Party is going to win every title.
Yo, I could see that. If it happened, they'd be like, oh yeah, sorry, man. We can't take any losses. We can't
afford But I saw somebody make a great comment about that, though, where it was Triple H, and he said, I think I just found NXT Japan.
Oh, wow. See, that's what they would do. That's what WWE would do. They'd be like, NXT Japan now, and then a few of those guys would jump ship.
Come in and try to take over.
If they ever did an NXT Japan, that would be the hardest shit.
There was rumors that they were going to buy all Japan. Can't
let that happen, because that would take what they're doing.
That's what NXT UK was. Like, the UK had a phenomenal wrestling community, and progress, they just sucked it all up. Progress, yeah. What culture, Glasgow wrestling, all these other ones, they were like, you took all those guys.
I don't want to see WWE in Japan, because like already right now you have like 77% of the good talent in Japan in New Japan, and then like the handful of guys that All Japan has, then it's like you're going to have a third player that's going to take even more people. So then you're going to get these matches that are going to get stale after a while. Let's be honest.
No, I just want a one-time event. Do like a G1 Classic. Do like a War of Continents or something, you know, where it's like they're just this cross-promotional branded pay-per-view one time, where it's like New Japan's versus WWE's
best. Best in wrestling, one-time only.
Exactly. Make that crown jewel money. And
but Teak, like, who's gonna take the losses?
Who wins? Yeah. Who loses?
Like, come that's on, big in Japan.
It depends on where it's happening. If it's happening in the United States, WWE is gonna win more of the matches. It makes more sense. They don't know New Japan guys like that over here.
But that would be the opposite. I think you know how they do now, like the hometown guy loses in their hometown. I think they would do a split, two pay-per-views. One in the U.S., one in Japan.
See, there you go.
U.S. But then, guys go over in Japan. Japan guys go over in the U.S.
But then here's the thing. Impact did that. Remember that everybody that's top dog in New Japan was jobbing every Tuesday or Wednesday whenever Impact was on?
Yeah, Okada took so many L's in Impact.
Yo, Okada I remember he was a champion at one point, and they mentioned him, and he went out and lost to, like, whoever it was, whoever the cruiserweight top guy was, or X division guy was,
But that's like, why, like Rand said, it would only be two shows, one here and one there. I mean, if the stuff did well, I could see them probably coming together and making that a yearly event like the G1 or something, where it's like, oh, once a year you get this cross-promotional tournament.
Well, and let's remember what happened in Madison Square Garden where the G1 took place. And, I mean, there was a, it was a cross-promotional event, which was booked.
Yo, remember when Shinsuke Nakamura he made some appearances for TNA. Shinsuke made some TNA appearances and he did his thing. He had a whole nother finish.
Look back on that thing. On that card, on the G1 Super Card. Like, if I'm not mistaken, it was kind of split down the middle. Like, at least I thought winners and losers were.
Let's be real. If we, and you know, you guys know more because you guys have friends on both brands and everything. But it felt like that was New Japan's pay-per-view that ROH was kind of like invited to. New Japan was booking that show. The production
value was crazy.
Well, that last one, the one that we were all at, it feels like that's where their relationship was splintering at that pay-per-view. So I don't really know what all was going on, but I remember, wasn't that the pay-per-view where they were like throwing the titles around in the background and it was all like, fuck these guys?
Yeah, that was the Enzo. That was the Enzo running pay-per-view.
That was
That was that night.
That was Tama.
He was discrediting the win. It was against the Briscoe brothers here on the card.
Didn't care about their titles, throwing them around.
Because again, he was elevating their card, their promotion, elevate
their brand.
Yeah.
So and I get it. Oh, think about it. I want to move into something else real quick. And speaking of Tama, you were there. You said you saw the stream where he decided to kind of, you know, go off. I think people are being worked by Tama personally. Uh-huh. But, you know, that's what
he's
got to do. He's got to sell stuff. But let's talk about the fact, or at least from what I've heard.
He's got an island of finance.
That AEW has filed for a trademark of the words "too sweet."
I heard that.
A hand gesture.
Okay.
Is this what's old is new again? Is this something that's going to go over and be very popular? Are they even going to get this trademark? And do we care? Do they have a right to this trademark? I guess it's the next.
Can I say something? I feel like, honestly, they're just, I think when it comes to trademarks, especially on the AEW side, they're just trying to get ownership to stuff that WWE is just keeping on the shelf to like collect dust.
Stuff that they might have laxed on like renewing and things like that. So that they
I don't think as a property, I don't think WWE is like, oh, we gotta get that too sweet. I think it's more like
it's good shit, pal.
Yeah, like I think it's more I think AEW or that particular storyline needs it more. And WWE, if they block it, if they still own it, it's going to be, fuck them. We're not going to give this to them. It's kind of like, well, I'm not going to piss on you if you're on fire.
This is a situation of things that we usually talk about, which is AEW claiming to do new stuff and then falling back on the old tropes. But as well, it would benefit AEW because people feel like AEW is the rebellion brand since they're going against the corporation.
Exactly.
So if they were to get the too sweet, plus they're more of like they have a newer fan base compared to WWE. So I think it would almost be like a like retro, something becoming new again with the too sweet. Like, well, fans who didn't live through the too sweet era would be too sweeting again because now it's new to them.
Right. But here's the thing. Let's be honest. If you know anything about the Young Bucks, the too sweet has been theirs for the past 9 years.
Oh, yeah.
WWE has not used it or even remembered it since, like, WCW / Monday Night Raw Wars.
No, it's RoboCop.
Whenever they have all the old guys on there, they always too sweet, and they too sweet it with Finn and
all of that stuff. Do the hand gesture. Yeah. Nobody ever says, too sweet me, bro. That was a... That was a Young Buck thing. And I'm good with it. Give it to them.
It's more synonymous. I mean, in my opinion, it's more synonymous with them nowadays than it is with the older talent. Right. And it is what it is. It's because we're living in that era.
Like, you
elevated it where now it's at, sure, it's at Hot Topic. I mean, yeah. Come on now.
It's got
like
huge.
Triple H doesn't want to be like, hey guys, too sweet each other. Like that, he doesn't care.
They don't care. They had it, they had control of it. They teased it with the Good Brothers, AJ and Finn. They teased it with all of that. They had
in
possession. And they didn't care.
Let's be clear. What AEW wants to license or trademark is the saying and the gesture for t-shirts.
Yes.
Right. Anybody could do it on the show. Like right now, NXT, you guys, I don't know if you guys saw it on Wednesday when Finn and what's it called? Undisputed Era, when they were in the locker room, if all four of them would have been like, and not said anything, that would have spoke volumes. But it's all about
it's merchandising. Like you're right, it's merchandising, right? And it's just like it's also controversy sales. It's like when they had the cease and desist shirts for the Bullet Club stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that was fake? Like they apparently we found out recently.
I think it was fake.
Like no,
I thought it was. I believe it. I don't care who you tell me. I
you bought it.
I don't believe it. I feel like Bullet you have Club to move.
Fine.
You have to move a bunch of units for the old man to know who you are.
Right.
So
I think this is a drop in the
bucket. When they were rocking those cease and desist shirts, acting like they had issues with New Japan. Now they trying to steal the Too Sweet logo or whatever. From what it seems like, they're trying to steal it. It just stirs up more controversy, which, like I said, that sells for them anyway. That's going to benefit AEW.
I think the more controversy is.
Well, Neo, where those stairs going to, buddy?
Is those guys
Vince's office?
They're them wearing the t-shirts. I think that was more controversial. But then the more I thought about it, and I was talking this with my friends that, I do have friends, guys, breaking news.
Where are your friends now?
They're in college. with my girlfriend in college. you know? I think the quote-unquote the Bullet Club hashtag or whatever you want to go with it or whatever, I think they got away with using the Bullet Club merch on an Impact pay-per-view because they were talent on an Impact pay-per-view. And technically Impact still has some sort of relationship with New Japan. Now, if you want to shock me, do that shit on TNT or whatever, the AEW show. If you do it on that, then okay.
Okay. So
the Good Brothers wore their, they wore their Bullet Club gear. If I'm not mistaken.
Nope, they wear their GB Good
collar
Brothers
and
stuff.
Elbow.
Yep,
their collar and elbow
own,
stuff.
Yeah, their own brand. I don't think there would be any issue. I think if anything, it's more of like there's no
I
law.
Mean, John Moxley is still New Japan's a champ over there, so right. They still gonna have
no
some problems
against walking out on a WWE program wearing a AEW shirt. It's just that it'll be frowned upon, and you probably get in trouble, yelled at in the locker room.
Yeah, there's you're putting no over another company.
There's no rule against it. And at the end of the day, it's going to sell a few extra t-shirts. So them helping out New Japan in that way, it no one would mind. You know what I mean? Now, if they did it on TNT, that means that maybe there's a relationship. But if they don't do it on TNT and they decide to do it on Impact, that tells you that they're playing loosely with their boundaries.
Let me ask the artists in the room. How hard is it to get a cease and desist on intellectual property?
Yeah.
Like, how quickly does that move?
What did Capcom say?
Well, let me tell you, as a guy who plays around a lot with copyright, this is actually a really
you're bad man.
it's dangerous. But if you fly below the radar, you know, there's a good chance you won't get caught. But you never know. The thing you could do could go viral or take off tomorrow, and then those people are going to be knocking at your door like, gimme. Now they can
they tell you to stop, or you got to actually pay them.
The law
you can't control
if you pay if you want to continue.
The law is they have to ask you to stop. If you don't stop, then they can take you to court. So, but I mean, I'm sure the rules can change.
And if they come to you with a number and it's like, hey, you've been doing this, if you want to continue, we can license it to you or something like that, then yeah. But Other than that, they can tell you to stop or sue you for restitution, money you've made.
Like, it wasn't like they wore a shirt that said Bullet Club and had an AEW patch down at the bottom and there was AEW tag in it. No, they're selling a shirt that directly pays New Japan. So why not? Like, it's just free advertisement.
Can we be honest? Like the way the t-shirts and the choices that they, even the hoodie, the oversized hoodie, I felt like that was like 3 minutes before they came out and somebody's like, yo, whose stuff is that? Yo, let me borrow that shirt. Let me borrow that hoodie. And but the funny thing is, the one thing that I took away from Tama's rant was he made fun of Luke Gallows because he was like, he said allegedly Luke Gallows looks like he ordered that ring gear and he said it looked brand new. I don't know. I don't know what Luke Gallows has in his closet. If he did, then that might be a sign that either they're going to wrestle New Japan or maybe there is some type of relationship. You don't just order. Ring gear is kind of pricey.
You can't.
Yeah, ring gear is that's made to order. That's definitely made to order.
Special made. So I think there was some conversations had. And who knows? I hope this is the beginning of a real relationship or at least a pay-per-view or promotion. They're working the angle with the Impact thing, and if Kenny's the belt collector, that's cool, but I think Impact at some point got to be like, yo, can my people get over? Like,
yo,
and they're doing more of that. They're doing more of that for sure.
Yeah, we need Jordan Grace to come spruce up and clean up that.
Well, they got Private Party going to Impact. I mean, so the cross branding is starting.
Okay.
Let me ask you this.
In a perfect end game world, what would happen is by next year, since by next year, Kenny Omega would be fighting his golden lover partner for his titles. In a perfect end game scenario, that would be the last belts that Kenny would need to collect.
Right.
Oh, imagine that.
But let me ask you this,
if that happens, it's all worth it.
Imagine him showing up at Wrestle Kingdom for those belts. Like, man. I'm back.
Anything's
let me ask you this.
Five stars.
What did you say, Ren?
Anything's possible in wrestling. Marco.
Can I ask you guys, like, this is a story that's been done. How many belt collectors have gone through Impact? Austin Aries was the first one.
Right.
Then you had Drew Galloway, a.k.a. Drew McIntyre. And then you had Cody. These were all guys that were multiple champions in multiple companies. Like, how many times are they going to do this? Like, honestly, I really hope something comes about it.
The payoff just has to be big enough. That's why I'm saying the payoff of Kenny and versus him at Wrestle Kingdom, that would be a huge payoff. They've been split up for, like, how long?
Teek's right, because we've seen the scenario pan out, but it's never been memorable. Austin Aries was almost there, but he is Austin Aries, and then he shot himself. He played himself too hard. Like, we've never seen it done right. The only one who's ever done it right, probably, you know, Ultimo Dragon. So far. But it's never been done, like, really well.
Guys, one last thing before we move on to TNA. Now, I know Anthem is a pretty big sports company. They're the ones that own Impact. Now, if you're Tony Khan,
tell the truth.
Do you think is a good buy if he has an opportunity to absorb Impact? Is that a good business move for the industry? I know it'll be a fan's wet dream because you get the combined roster, but is it a good move?
Impact's got a lot of major talent.
If they still get that slot on TV, I think it is.
Yeah. I wouldn't even. If they absorbed it into like a second show and it became like their SmackDown.
Or their if NXT. if they absorb Impact and they just make AEW 3 hours.
All of that talent, though? Imagine Chris Bay going to be an AEW dude. Crazy.
I don't know if I want a 3-hour show, but that's a lot of talent. And
I mean, I would like to see it. And real quick, just off the cusp, but on the cusp,
What the hell? Matt Cardona had just debuted for AEW not that long ago.
That was just the one shot, though.
What the fuck happened?
He hasn't done anything since then. That was just the one shot.
He had two matches, and I was like, I thought he was signed, so he wasn't signed? It's just a payday.
Mega, how many times did we talk about this?
We talk about him a lot and about that moment of, like, what was he doing and why did that happen?
Can we, like, you know what? Shout out to Matt Cardona.
I think they realized that, too. It was just to get his homie a payday.
Yeah, shout out to Matt Cardona. Like, out of everybody, he's had a tough thing. Like, rumors are having, and again, I don't know what that man is doing. I don't know. But apparently, for the short term, he's in Impact because he's already announced for a couple of shows. But what happens if they pull an AEW and then he's no longer booked? What are you going to do?
This is part of the issue where they say that AEW is too off the cuff sometimes, and it seems like they're not controlled well enough for stuff like that to happen. It's like,
yeah,
you just bring people through, and then you're like, oh yeah, this isn't going to work. I thought you might have had a bigger,
but like, yo, if you think about it,
but holla.
He was the biggest star, and he showed up, and he was like, oh, he's ready. My man got real ring gear made with AEW logo on it, and
he
came back.
Changed the name of his finishing move. And
I'm not going to lie, though. I feel like part of the reason is Cody, though. Like, to me, Cody, like, I know guys love him. I know Neo loves him and stuff like that. Cody's a boring wrestler to me. I'm sorry. The dude's boring.
He's getting there.
He's got some new offense. It's nice to see him.
That match wasn't that great that he had with Cardona. There was some botched spots in it.
He had a match with Avalon that was just bad.
Oh, man. Him and Peter Avalon.
Oh, my God. They talked about that.
That shit was dope.
This was probably, at least from what I read and saw, maybe one of the worst, like, Dynamites in a while. So I definitely wanted to get to that.
To Peter, man, because he can work, but
Cody versus Peter, what was the Cody's problem with
stiff,
this match?
Man, he's stiff and he don't really got no, like, that his vibe has diminished greatly since AEW has started. And yeah, man, I don't know what he has to do to pick it up. Like, it's hard to be the boss and a worker, and it's hard to come out and cut promos about what the company is going to do and come out and do shit that you need to do. You know, in my eyes, that's hard for one man to carry, because it's like, then you look at them like, so you booking yourself to lose? Or, you know, guys who are smart with the fedoras, like Neo would say, are going to look at this like, this like is a Neo. Very awkward situation
for you to be in. I think, honestly, and this is just grasping at straws, for it to make sense to me, I think Cody wants to move away from being a wrestler and be a TV personality or be like a mentor a la Master Heater that's behind a Neo right now. Like honestly, he doesn't need to be. They have a strong roster. Like, what? Mm-hmm. They already did his storyline with his brother. Kenny and him have already been done otherwise. They already brought literally every single homeboy that he's had in the WWE. So, like, what is he waiting for when Dolph Ziggler says, I'm done with the WWE, and he comes over? And that's funny. I think Dolph would get a 5-year contract from AEW, whereas that sucks that Matt Cardona got 3 weeks or whatever.
I don't know. You think they're waiting to pull a Brandy and Cody breakup storyline?
Oh, God.
I would avoid that, because the history behind real couples doing storyline breakups, that shit sticks.
Yeah.
Right. She's going to come right after the baby is born, come back and break up with him on.
Yeah, let's hope not.
This isn't your baby.
That's not yours. It's Shaq's. You're like, what? Yeah. Then
that's my baby. I put a butt in her oven.
But yeah, he could definitely move into a more triple.
Yo, you sounded just like Shaq, though.
You really did. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But you're right, Cody's kind of missing something, and I feel like they've shot their load on a lot of the best stuff for Cody.
Let's not say that.
Yeah, you know.
But first of all, to quote
load.
to use quote unquote, and let me put this way, to use the boys' language, that match was considered the drizzling shits. That's what people are saying on. And what, I personally,
have you seen that Cody Cutter?
I've seen worse matches, in my opinion. I don't know about you guys. I just think it might have been on the low end of what we're expecting. But it, if you break it down, I've seen not for horrible me, matches.
Cody's born.
I'm not expecting just anything from Cody versus Avalon, to be honest.
Ray, so, is he a librarian anymore?
They only got two moves.
he changed his gimmick.
Yeah, no, he's not the librarian no more. Him and old girl, that ain't even his manager.
He's a playboy.
Pretty Peter Avalon now.
And, where is that girl? Did she get cut?
No, she's still wrestling for the women's division. She's
in front row every show, and she does a dark probably every week.
Yeah, she
does. So, yeah, they've moved him out of the librarian gimmick. He's a good hand. He can work. So,
but you know, to say all of that, I want to see AEW for the belt, Cody versus Matt Cardona, book it.
Yo, I will also say this though.
Okay, and we're moving on.
Check this out. Hold on. I am ragging Cody, but I will say they're only as good as their foil, and Cody does not have anybody who he's feuding with right now. So he's kind of like
he's trying to rack up wins to try to get back in the picture because
he's doing the
winnings matter,
but he's also doing the Go Big show, so he's not really in a big feud right now. He's doing other shit, so that could be another reason why he's boring right now. Maybe if Kenny Omega or John Moxley starts kicking his ass again or something, maybe he'll get some fire.
But okay. Circa 2017-2018 ROH/New Japan, Cody was probably the best heel in the business at that time.
Oh, yeah. The American also, well, Nightmare. Not a heel
right now, though, and that's the issue.
Mm-hmm. He was so good.
He's a little too babyface now.
Even that name, the American Nightmare, that just screams heel. But now it's like the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and he's
no, because
like,
now it's the Nightmare Family, and the Nightmare Family is not the same ring as the American Nightmare.
Once he got rid of that leather jacket with the custom paint on the back, and he stopped, he changed the theme music. Now he has Snoop Dogg. Shout out to Snoop Dogg getting that check. Everywhere. Yeah.
Snoop Dogg. I mean, everybody can't be 50 like Cent forever, man. Like when he left WWE, he was on his let me prove everybody wrong type thing. So yes, his story was going to be more propelled at that time. He's already done everything, like Rand said. Now he owns a company. So
and he stamped it with a dog splash.
He's fed. He ain't hungry.
Now,
without messing with your guys' format,
Cody, it's the Cody album.
Do you think anybody else, like Cody was like a solid talent, but you think anybody else that was stuck in the limbo that he was, that didn't have that Rhodes pedigree, could have enjoyed the success he had outside of the WWE the way he did? Like, John Moxley was a bigger star when he left.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about
his star level was shit when he left WWE. Come on now.
Before that,
he was in the hottest faction ever in WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm talking about like anybody in that circa time frame where Cody was working the tag matches with his brother.
Yeah,
you think anybody else would have done what he did, or was that a perfect timing for just Cody?
That's got to be perfect timing because I remember that list to this day.
Yeah.
That list was like major. The only other person that I can think could do that would probably be, like a person like Shelton Benjamin, but he was far removed at that point. At that time, nobody comes to mind because that's when ROH guys were coming over to WWE slowly but surely, you know?
And when you talk about that stuff, though, is what makes him one of the greats, honestly, because it's like when you look at the stuff he was doing as Stardust or whatever before he left WWE, like he was in a shitter. And yeah, he's got a pedigree, but just to see him turn it around the way that he did, like who would think betting on yourself to that degree,
to that extent,
like just being a Rhodes would get you that far.
Real you know, quick, speaking,
he was being a Rhodes without having the name for like the longest time too.
Yeah.
Because it was a wink, wink, nudge, nudge type thing. Like everybody knows who he is.
Copyrights. Again, it was a copyright thing too.
Do you think Ted DiBiase Jr., because he left around the same time, you think Ted Jr. would have made a big splash like that, like Cody?
I was thinking that in the back of my mind, but I couldn't get it. Like, I just don't see he had, like, the actual fire ethic.
Yeah, man, I don't think Curtis Axel would ever got this far either.
Right. But, yeah, yo, he's a good hand. I don't care what nobody says. Curtis Axel, until they killed his whole... like
that B team push. So wet.
Oh, the B team, golly.
They buried him so bad.
No, I mean, you know, and I think you're right that the fact that he was a Rhodes kid, the fact that he knew the business helped him further than anybody else because nobody else did it. No one else left WWE and made as big of an impact as him ever, like in history. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of being
bigger than they were when they were there, I can't think of anybody.
He a lot of people leave and start burying people because they know WWE's not going to want him back. But he was like, I'm going to do my thing, but I'm still going to be like, every interview is like, yo, WWE, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for them or, you know.
He knows how to save a bridge. And why not? Like, why bite the hand that fed you for so long? You know, it's.
Absolutely.
Literally, his family, he thanks WWE for him and Brandy being together. Like, you know, think about all that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But go ahead, Mega. You want to go over some other AEW, the rest of the card?
Yeah, we don't have time, but I don't have time to go through the whole card. But I wanted to talk briefly. We talked about last week, this Inner Circle storyline and where we see it kind of going. The main
event. It's getting there.
On the show. I think we're rounding. We're turning the corner.
We're getting there, which is good.
I thought this was a very entertaining
situation. It's been a moderate burn. The moderate burn.
So what do you think is going to happen?
I think they're going to split off. They're going to do a Wolfpack NWO thing. And
Inner Circle Red.
MJF is going to break the whole band up.
Right. Who do you think is going to go with who, though?
The Inner Circle and the Outer Circle. Or it's just going to be Jericho and MJF like versus everybody.
I can see it like Jericho... MJF, Wardlow, and Hager, like that's a big power.
Solid, yeah.
Jericho and MJF alone are like dope. Like two of the biggest assholes, and it can really play the part.
That could be a two-man power trip situation.
That's what I'm saying. That's why they're not going to last that long.
And that can explode though. That can splinter. Yeah,
that's a main event. If that's a main event.
Now, do you think that the way that the match to finish happened was the best way to go? Like, out of everybody, in my opinion, I think the real tag team should have gone over.
Yeah, Santana and Ortiz, I agree.
Well, that's why they're going to leave the group.
I feel like they're not being utilized because they're not getting the fair due. And they're the only team that wrestled as a team in the whole match. So it makes sense. I want to see that happen. They're probably the single most underused talent at AEW.
Next to the Lucha Brothers.
No. Yeah, I was about to say, Lucha Brothers or them. Hey. Who's gotten worse?
Lucha and Scorpio Sky.
Oh.
Here's a quick question. Do you think that...
for the fact that didn't Phoenix get stuck in like, or Pentagon, one of those dudes got stuck in like Mexico during the COVID stuff, so that's why.
Yeah, like, but...
Like they didn't do a lot of stuff.
Maybe they don't want
to team up. I heard that they don't want to do solo runs, really. So,
well, Penta is beat up, and I think I don't know. I might be talking out of my ass, but I've read somewhere that they're signed as the Lucha Bros, and they kind of want to keep business separate. Like, if you want Penta on low, you need to give me that second contract or something. You know, because you notice everything
that. A smart play
because you know,
and also AEW should have gave the Lucha Bros the tag titles up front. The fact that they weren't the first tag title holders, I was still shocked.
I love FTR, but the Lucha Bros should have gotten the push that FTR got when they came in.
It's just FTR has got a lot more momentum. That's the only problem. FTR had so much momentum,
but in the beginning,
they know how to use social media.
But in the beginning, the Lucha Bros. Had so much momentum, They were a hot product, and like they Vinced them.
They're just hot because of Strictly Wrestling. Like, they got Vinced.
here's a Dark Order question, real quick. So, do y'all think that Hangman Page not joining the Dark Order? I don't feel like it's gonna be like that forever. I feel like they're waiting on a pay-per-view opportunity or a bigger way to introduce him in the Dark Order. Even just in the way he left, I feel like I'm not buying it. He'd been with them too long.
I do think
Jack Silva is doing a Steve Urkel to them. He's like, I'm wearing you down, baby.
it's the slow
I'm wearing you down, baby.
I wear Hangman down. I think they need to. They need to bring in and like do a double return. I would have Matt Hardy take over, bring him in. If you're going to give it a leader, make him turn heel, turn on Private Party, and have him do what everybody expected him to do when he first got to AEW, was have the broken the one.
Dark Order. Broken.
But if not, I think honestly, Dark Order should just dwindle down, and like out of respect for John Hubert, I think they should not have a leader, at least for now.
Man, I like your first idea.
Would it be too much if the spiritual powers of Matt Hardy channeled the?
That would be a little interesting.
That's crazy.
That would be in poor taste.
For him to be Brody.
Not to be Brody, but to be inspired by Brody.
Oh. I don't know. That's a slippery slope. That's right.
Exactly. And that's why I'm bringing it up, because the Lake of Reincarnation has lots of power.
Oh my gosh,
it does. Come on.
It's not to an channel actual
Brody through him.
But is it the same powers that that Seth Rollins and Mox had when with the leukemia of Roman Reigns?
There's certain things
that you can't use. You can't spin.
Right.
You can't spin things like that. Leave it alone.
You can't put real life in that.
It was just a topic because the Lake of Reincarnation, it does exist in the wrestling ethos.
I don't think you would be able to go in. I'm not saying that
he needs to be the Exalted One. I'm saying he can be inspired by the Exalted One.
I think what they're doing with his son is as close to the Exalted One as they can get. You can't really pull anybody.
Well, and then you kind of get this crazy Game of Thrones scenario where maybe Matt Hardy can speak it to Negative One and really twist this entire thing going. You know, there's lots to mark out about.
That kid is really good on the mic, by the way. He's funny as hell.
Yo, he's super funny.
I love that kid.
Shout out to
him. It broke my heart, that whole situation. I want AEW to succeed and be around for 50 years so that kid can realize his dream if he still has it 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. And happy birthday to Negative One.
Happy birthday, Negative One.
They continue because, as Neo was saying with the Game of Thrones type stuff, to see somebody grow up in wrestling almost like Harry Potter, he's young now, then to see him be like a shitty teenager.
All right, let's call it right now.
With the Dark Order now, drinking and having girls skip school and shit coming to wrestling matches.
Yo.
It's going to be Negative One versus Hook in 20 years or some shit.
That's going to be lit.
10 years from now, let's get back together and discuss. Remember 10 years ago?
That's some bullshit.
10 years ago.
When Teak is doing Project 46.
I also want to say congratulations to Dustin Rhodes. This week he had his very first class for his wrestling school in Texas, the Rose Wrestling Academy. So much love to him as well, man. He got out there nice.
Hey man, he ain't playing that. He ain't paying the bill.
Hey, we were talking about Rhodes and shit earlier. I'm like, man, he's realizing his dream of having a
wrestling. That was years ago, motherfucker.
Really getting able to, you know, do his thing. So
the road less traveled.
Since
would have been a dope name.
since you brought him up. I just want to ask one last question because I assume we're wrapping up soon. Thoughts of Sting coming back to the ring at AEW Revolution?
Sting!
I'm hearing that as more of a...
I think it leaked. It's a Darby versus...
I mean, it's a faker
Darby
match.
Darby versus Sting?
No, him and Darby tag. Like, if they work it right, and Sting just comes in for the finish and doesn't really work the match,
he's got to swing the bat. Like, he's just got to swing that thing. Mm-hmm. And
wow,
yeah, they're just gonna have him pop out the shadow like Batman, and probably yank some people into the shadows, do some bat stuff.
Okay. Oh, that should be a cinematic match. Like, I'm not worried about being hurt. I'm just worrying about, like, I love Sting. I love him as a character. I just don't want to see Sting in the ring.
Yeah, I love
just
him.
Just like why it's a street match. A street fight.
Just like I never want to see Hogan do a retirement match. We're 10 years down the road, too late for that, bro.
But any
I don't want to see Hogan do anything. I just want to see Hogan take his ass home.
But what happens if a wrestler doesn't go out on their own terms? Anything's up for grabs, you know what I'm saying? And so Sting didn't go out the way he wanted to go out, so I'm sure he wants to be in a situation where he can walk out of the ring, you know what I'm saying?
True.
With a victory. So
right,
it's probably going to happen, but he won't get too involved, hopefully, and we'll see what happens.
Well, it's 5 years.
But as of right now, he's just Darby Allin's guardian angel. That's all he is.
Yeah, and I mean,
that's weird.
I like him in that position, but like, it's getting a little old. Like, what are we gonna, where's this going? Like, well, again, I want it to be, and we talked about it before, I wanted Darby to be at a point where like he wants to prove something to Sting. He starts like doing the Scorpion Death Drop. He starts like Scorpion Death Block and Stinger Splashing. And then Sting's like, no, you're not there yet. You're not good enough. You know what I mean? And like, give me like something Game of Thrones, like where you get some real story. Like, he's not pleased with him. And so
to piggyback off of that, and then Sting's last match could be something like Darby Allin versus him, and then at the end, as respect, Darby takes the Sting face paint, completing his character. Ooh. And ascending, aka becoming six path.
And Sting gets stung.
And then, yeah, I don't know if. You know, these wrestlers, especially the old guys, are very protective of their gimmicks. Ain't nobody just going to hand off their gimmick like, here you go.
I mean, just, shit, like he didn't steal it from a whole movie. A little bit. He didn't create like, that gimmick.
I don't know. That's the gimmick he's lived off his whole life.
Yeah, true. Well, not his whole life. Not them first years with that bogus ass flat top.
He was the only thing. Thing did was when he started wearing like that pirate type trench coat with the mask, like that.
Yeah. You're talking about the officer Steve Borden.
Officer Steve. When that's the haircut. Like that, that's his own style, but not what he started off with. That was a straight Crow ripoff. We all know it. Come on now.
Oh, yeah.
The worst version of Sting, we could all agree, was the Joker Sting.
The Joker Sting. Like, I can't believe he even did that.
Oh, God. I wanted to forget that. Thanks a lot.
On that note.
Oh, God.
Somebody made a good some money.
Somebody made up a good point in the Twitch chat. They say the Elite is literally fighting Dark Order next week. Hangman might come back around. Just side note.
There you go.
Leaves it's opportunity.
Not over.
He'll just be hanging out by the ring drinking.
Now, not to body shame. Is it me or Hangman looks bloated these days? Or...
Hey, we got to bring back the Full Gear Challenge, baby.
We need the Full Gear Challenge.
That's funny.
Shout out to Hangman as a teacher. You saw that picture surfaced.
Oh, yeah.
He was Shout out to my girl, Jay Cargill, looking good every week.
So I don't want to talk about that.
We don't have Rock Knowledge here, so we could pick our own snack of the week in honor of Rock Knowledge.
If
you have a snack, Rock will return next week in Avengers 3.
You said you don't want to talk about her, Marco?
I don't know. I think as a male fan, I always feel weird talking about how, man, this wrestler is hot. I don't know.
We always have a certain section where we do that.
This is the part of the show that we do this every week.
At the end of the show, usually we pick a snack or we pick a burial. So we'll have our guest, Marco. Can you think of a burial this week? Who needs to get buried?
Who needs to get buried?
No.
The dude that needs to get buried. Oh my God. The guy that tried to snap on on the leader of Retribution, Ali, on Twitter, that was talking so much shit about Retribution, but then Ali aired him out as the guy posting like super weird sexual things about lady wrestlers.
Oh, yeah. Ali also posted and said, delete all your horny tweets before coming at me because I will expose them.
Yeah, that was funny. And he caught him well, and then everybody's like,
he did, yeah. So
it goes with hacker gimmick.
So for y'all who didn't see it, some troll came at him and was like, yo, Retribution sucks, you're terrible, blah blah blah, you can't get over, yada yada. And Ali was like, well, before you tweeted this, you retweeted to win a free fleshlight. So I just wanted to point that out. And then then the dude was like, tag WWE, tag Vince, tag Stephanie, tag Triple H. Like, listen to what your wrestlers are doing. They're attacking people. Like, he went to smoke.
He went to smoke.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, Ali used to be a police officer. He probably really do got some dirt on this motherfucker. Like,
That's why he can be a hacker. He can get that info. He gonna hit his police buddies up. Like, hey,
he heard it all.
Ali was at the crib. Run
this guy's information.
He was an officer from the crib. No, he got intel.
Like, so overall, burial for any fan that tries to come at a wrestler and they get butt hurt when they pull their card.
Trolls on Twitter, ain't ready to get snapped on.
Twitter trolls. Y'all can,
They got time today.
even Cardi B being a Twitter troll and not just rolling with the punches with Lacey. Like, girl, get your sensitive ass out of here.
Yeah. Yep. Like, people don't understand WWE is not on the road 280 days this year. They got some time.
Right. Oh, I think they're literally driving something that we never spoke
from
on.
The stadium to their where they're living. They got time.
I think G1 just made a comment about something that we didn't speak on when it happened, but do any of y'all have any thoughts about if Cardi showed up on WWE after, she was tweeting with Sasha Banks and
Lacey Evans. Her and Lacey Evans had Twitter beef.
I'm all for any Latina getting their bag.
Hey. That's the truth.
You know, they offer a nice, you know, $40,000 for a guest appearance. I'm sure.
Normally musicians just go on there and get power bombed through tables. So
and then they get hit with chains.
They ain't gonna let Cardi take a power bomb.
She's not Snooki. And G1, she's still relevant. They're gonna have to cut a long check for that.
She might
need that 150,000.
Well, yo, here's the thing. They talking about at WrestleMania that they're gonna be having people at WrestleMania. I think they got it that they can have what 2,500 or something a day.
25,000, I think.
25,000 for 2 days.
That's a dangerous.
Each day. I don't trust that. I don't like it.
Dangerous.
I'm not going. By the way,
if they try to use Cardi for that to try to pull people in?
Well, that's $1 million that a bunch of wrestlers did not get. Because I honestly think they're gonna have to pay Ronda prices. Like that appearance that Ronda did before she was signed, that was money.
They paid her big.
Even though they gave her everything for free and she got free front row and the whole VIP, they came off of a check for that.
I mean, but they're saving a lot of money. They're not paying Brock every week, so.
Yeah, hush money. Now that Royal Rumble's this weekend, who's the biggest surprise?
Well, what do you do fucking Royal Rumble
this
picks?
It's 10 days away.
Oh, my bad.
Are you sure?
Wait, Royal Rumble's not Sunday?
No. It's the 31st.
I might not be here. You guys might not invite me back. Right. Like, yo, fuck that dude.
I didn't know they moved the date because, shit, last year this time we was at Royal Rumble.
Oh, shit.
No, it's not that's exact right. date of the year.
Yeah, that makes
sense. All right. Humble brag, guys. Anywho. Okay.
Hey, yo, but Marco, you can still give us your pick, and we'll definitely appreciate it for next
week. We can't give our picks, but Marcos, give us your men and women.
Wow. So you guys are saying that I'm not invited next week. That's cool, but I'll give you y'all pick. I'm messing with you.
I don't know.
Hey, true.
I don't know what's happening next week.
You said you weren't going to be here next week.
I might not even be here next week.
I'm not supposed to be here today.
I think the surprise for the women is going to be Ronda. I think the winner. I think the winner of the women, and my math might be off. I think in a surprise thing to kick up ratings, I think the man comes back and wins again, if she can. I don't know. I don't know how many weeks we're out because, you know, I'm not the person's optometrist or whatever.
Yeah, right. You're saying if she can snap back. I said that too.
She might. Yeah. We were talking about that. If she pulls the snap back, I would love to see her out there.
I think the surprise for the men is going to either be Brock or Cena. I think the winner of the men's, hands down, it has to be the way that they're building it. I'm trying to think that it has to be either Daniel Bryan or it has to be Edge.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan.
We need Edge back, man.
I think Edge is fighting for a belt at Mania.
We need Edge at the title in the title picture.
I think if Randy's gonna get it back, he will.
I mean, Edge can't get the pop he just got that last year at Rumble. So I mean, that's not gonna be the big.
Don't say that.
That's not gonna be the big surprise pop.
It's not as big of a pop. No, it's not.
But I think him, if he comes back in time, I think he's the odds on favorite. Or honestly, give me some.
Do you guys think that they're done with Bray? Because he's disappeared right now. He could pop back up in Rumble.
I think the smartest thing that WWE can do is keep Bray away from the belt or any belt. Let him just be Bray.
And Randy can pop out and do their thing anytime without a belt involved.
Daniel Bryan or Big E.
I want to see Daniel Bryan, to be honest, but I think him and Roman Big E have great matches all the time.
Be crazy. So
or if you want to be obtuse, Keith Lee, and then they turn him heel.
Ooh. Okay.
And then,
make him heal in your mind? Slap
beat the shit out of anybody. Well, just beat the living dog shit out of somebody.
Yo, they had the same play. WWE has a whole bunch of storylines that years ago worked for them. Have him, quote unquote, be a part of the hurt business, come in, get immediately at odds with MVP.
He's saying, "Do the nation storyline."
Oh wow, Nation of Domination 2.0 all over again.
Yeah, you make him rock, and you make him come in and take control of the faction.
Yep, and then as soon as he doesn't need them, you turn the faction face by having him say, "Fuck y'all, I'm good, I'm the champ." Right. And just like, you guys are losers or something.
The other way you can do it is you can go to Samoa Joe route where he just beats the fuck out of everybody.
Yep. But the only way I believe is,
how do you make him heal though? Like,
that's how you make him beat people up more than he should. Like, he beats small guys up.
or you have him join a heel faction and have him grow a proper beard.
Yeah, because he really need one.
He needs a goatee.
He needs something. He had it at NXT, and you saw he was double champion. As soon as he shaved it, has a
wow. Exactly.
Lesson of the night. Don't shave your beard. Don't shave the beard, or
it's over.
So, Neo, you shave your beard the most out of everybody.
We won't be shaved.
And you see what happens to me?
Turn him heel. Have Mega and Teak do their song produced by G1. Boom. There you go.
Wow.
Or if you want to turn him heel, just have him start attacking people from behind.
Okay.
Whoa. In which way?
Backstage segments.
In backdoor segments.
No, backstage segments.
Yeah. Oh, Thank you. Thank you, dude. Oh, hey.
I was trying not to this time.
I want to see him and the SmackDown Tag Champs. Make them a faction. I want to see them heal. Come on.
We want to see everybody with the Hurt Business because they're doing well.
Naomi with the Hurt Business.
Well, and I'll be even now the Hurt Business is kind of splintering. If y'all saw the most,
did you see Naomi's? Did you see the grill?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You saw her grill?
Yeah, I saw it.
Shout out to MVP for hopping on that Hurt Business remix with Gunn and Wale.
I want to play a new song for y'all. From the Teak Hall album, it's officially tomorrow somewhere. And by the time you guys hear this, So this is, what's the name of the song, T?
Overlord.
Overlord is the name of the song.
It's a good anime, too.
You guys aren't going to be able to hear it, but I'm going to play it for the live audience. Actually, you know what? I might be able to.
I think Neo's in Twitch and G1 is. They'll probably hear it.
I'm gonna share computer sound, so I might be able to make it happen.
Okay, because I'm like, I own it, so I heard it.
You own it. You heard it. G1 on the beat, Mega yes, Man, sir. And G1 and Teak on the
That would have been funny. Like, I don't know what you're playing. We're Dude. All going to listen to it for the first
time. We're all just going to bop like this. Can't hear shit.
You're playing it, we hear it. G1 to
the rescue. My neck was not prepared for this.
In my city, 2 years straight, I broke the scoreboard. Passed it off to make a ran like a give and go. Ask me if I give a fuck, I tell them hell no. How so? I set the pick and roll for the fast break. The streets still waiting on my hot takes. Ask me if I'm good, I'm feeling great. Besides, the world's burning. Who cares who's running for office when you're running from Warren? That's what my mans told me. It's crazy, last year we lost Black Panther and Kobe. I lost my father and two homies. But gotta keep writing like the never-ending story. Forever winning, gotta see the glory. Shit can get gory and you'll be missing shortly. Washed up where the shore be, while I'm sunbathing with your shorty. Cougar Town, you know I like them when they over 40.
I ain't a music dude, I'm a lyrical Rubik's Cube. Trying to get the cake like Susie Q. What we do to you? Make a beautiful mess. Nobody's guessed, got the feds still pursuing clues. And that ain't even the worst part. A rookie quarterback on his first start. No film, work hard and work smart. It's a given, like Teak saying his name before the verse start. Get this stuck in your brain. You in oncoming traffic if everything is coming your way. Pay attention, my people be everywhere styling. COVID ops, like it's Metal Gear Solid. An unfortunate twist of fate. You rather camp out at Crystal Lake. I'ma still kill it. Superhuman, fold your bed up while you still in it. They don't like it, but they gotta deal with it. My crew buzzing, the truth coming. Tryna pull up in a Mercedes like Snoop Cousin. Had a blogger ask about my process. I wake up and I just plot another conquest. Honestly, man, it ain't hard to follow me. I just bet on myself like Tim Donaghy. Yeah, take the pot, then we split it with the fellas. Front row and sell it, we hitting hard, you better wear a helmet.
What to do. Always keep your shoulders off the mat. We appreciate you. From myself, from G1, NeoX, Teak Hall, and our guest, Marco. Tell them where to find you, Marco Stunt. Where you at?
Oh, man, I'm at the Sunset Kid 56 on Instagram, at the Double X Handle on Instagram. I'm everywhere, man. You'll find me.
He everywhere. You ain't never there.
And that's my Theo. That's my Theo. He rose deep.
If you see him at a wrestling event back when we're allowed to be there again, buy that man a beer and he'll be your friend for life.
Yeah, you buy him a beer because he might bring a box. So you don't know.
You never know. Oh, all right, y'all.
I just remember I had to get like, what did we get? Like 8 whiskeys to go. Remember, Rand? The bar was closing.
Oh man, was that with Marcos too?
Yeah, that was there in
whiskeys to go.
In the lounge of the hotel. We had to get all those drinks. He said, "We're closing. You got to get them now." We said, "Okay, let us get like how many can we get? Can we get like 8 of them?" And then the CFO showed up with a bottle, and that's when Neo fell asleep on his first couch.
It was a great night. In fact, we're gonna tell some stories on the Patreon version, so don't go anywhere except to patreon.com/mattmaniapod and do what?
Pay that money.
We appreciate you. We'll see you soon. Peace.